In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Looking back at salvation history has to be easier than going through it. We often fault the disciples for their lack of understanding and faith, but I truly wonder if we would have been any different. Again, in the gospel reading, we find the disciples in that upper room with our Lord. It's the night he was betrayed. They knew he came from God. They knew the Father spoke through him. In fact, they knew that he was the Christ, the Son of God. He had come to establish the kingdom of Israel. And so they are completely confused why he kept talking about his departure. Where was he going? Why was he leaving? How could he leave when the kingdom of Israel had not yet been established in Jerusalem? They needed the Holy Spirit. It didn't matter how intellectual they were or how smart they could handle the scriptures. Without the Holy Spirit, no man can properly see who Christ is and why he came. And so Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple, Judas, son of James, also called Thaddeus, he asked Jesus a question. Why don't you just show yourself to the whole world? It makes sense, even in our day. Why doesn't Jesus just appear and teach the world instead of constantly working through ministers, some of whom, perhaps many of whom, get him wrong? Jesus' answer was our gospel lesson. Through the word, he says. I come through the word to dwell in the hearts of all believers everywhere, and where I dwell, there the Father himself also dwells. Jesus speaks of heavenly mysteries, and the disciples are utterly confused and confounded. They don't get it. Their minds are dwelling in Jerusalem. Who is ruling? Why? So watch and pray, Jesus warns. Watch and pray, for the prince of this world is coming. Satan is on his way. But as they sit there in Gethsemane, it is late. Their stomachs are full from a Passover meal. Their eyes are drowsy. 3 times he prayed, 3 times they fell asleep. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. They need the Holy Spirit to guide them even in prayer and in all actions. They lack the confidence and boldness that he alone can give. And yet as they lift their drowsy eyes, they see torches and spears and clubs. Here is the prince of this world mustering his army ready for battle. And they're terrified. He appears harmless. He greets our Lord with a kiss. But that serpent always looks harmless until he opens his mouth. Then he strikes the shepherd and his disciples scatter. They forgot Jesus' words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." They are not filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit quite yet. They forgot that Jesus was God himself, the maker of heaven and earth, who bends his will to the will of the Father to redeem mankind. They forgot that Jesus very often talked about his death, that he was going to the Father. Our Lord goes willingly because he loves the Father. The disciples flee because they love their lives. The trials don't make anything any easier. Perhaps he will be pardoned, but their worst fears are finally realized as they see him dragging his cross out to Golgotha. He saved others, but he could not save himself. He raised others, but he could not even raise himself. No man can. What good is a dead man to the living? They can offer no help, no assistance. They thought he was God himself, the way to the Father, and now he lay in a tomb, locked in a tomb, with soldiers themselves standing guard. Their hearts broke. Their minds could only dwell on what their eyes could see. Their souls mourned, fearful that they themselves would be next. They lack the Holy Spirit. They need his strength, his comfort, his power. Then he rose. The women saw him. The disciples themselves saw the empty tomb, and yet St. John still writes, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They still don't get it. They want to rejoice, but not too loudly for fear of the Jews. Locked in a room, trembling and afraid, Jesus stood in their midst. The disciples were overjoyed. But they still don't get why he had to suffer and die and then rise. Their minds are still concerned about who is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And as Jesus himself ascends to the right hand of the Father to rule all things for their good, the good of his church, they finally ask him, Lord, now are you going to establish your kingdom of Israel? Go to Jerusalem, he replies. Go to Jerusalem and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And finally, that Pentecost day comes. A sound like the rushing of a violent wind, stronger than those Santa Anas and much louder, and yet not destructive in the least, filled the entire house where they were sitting. And yet the Holy Spirit had not come rushing into that house to fill a building, but to fill their bodies and to give them power and courage and strength. Tongues of fire appeared on their heads. And they became temples of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit filled their minds and their bodies, reminding them of everything Jesus had said and done. No longer confused, no longer afraid, they spoke with boldness and courage as the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in many different languages. And they were not talking about the weather or the Romans. But they proclaimed the wonders of God found in Jesus' death and resurrection. They were not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. It's the hour of prayer. Besides, drunk people don't have flames of fire on their heads, and neither can they speak in unlearned languages. But they had become temples of God, who now worked in and through them to preach this gospel to the nations around them. Now they finally get it. Now they finally see Jesus as the incarnate God who must suffer and die before he enters his kingdom. Now they finally understand what the scriptures are talking about when they speak about Israel. Moses and Elijah, the prophets, the Psalms, they all point to this God, Jesus Christ, to his kingdom that he would establish. Now they finally get it. Enlightened by the Spirit, and through the Spirit, they preached that saving message to others. The people themselves didn't understand who Jesus was either. They thought he was a great prophet. And yet many other prophets had come and gone. His death was controversial. Some loved him, others hated him. They welcomed him with palms on Palm Sunday as king and as Messiah. And yet not one of them cheered as he drove the money changers out of the temple instead of driving those Romans out of the city. They didn't fully understand who he was or why he came. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. And so this Galilean fisherman stands up and preaches that they killed him. And they killed not only a prophet of God, but they killed their Lord, their God, their Christ, whom they had been waiting for. And the people are cut to their heart. What shall we do, they ask. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They need this Holy Spirit, for no one can confess Jesus as God and Lord apart from him. And 3,000 were baptized in one day. 3,000 people became temples of God, 3,000 Christians who see Christ as the fulfillment of all the scriptures, no longer looking toward earthly Jerusalem, but living for their heavenly country, filled with the Holy Spirit, and so living in love and faith toward one another. 3,000 in one day. Now they have received faith and courage and boldness and confidence and the peace which he alone can bring. That Spirit comes through the waters of holy baptism to enlighten those crowds. and that same Spirit comes to you through your holy baptism. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you are baptized. And so you are forgiven all your sins, both the past and the future. And you too, like these apostles, have become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the fullness of his gifts, was not just for these apostles, but it is for you as well. That same boldness and courage and confidence, that same peace, he gives to you. And so you see that all your sins are forgiven. You see that the Holy Spirit does live and move in you. He comes to you through this watery baptism to enlighten your mind and your heart. You didn't hear the sound like the rushing of a violent wind. People from all over the city did not gather at your baptism wondering what was going on. Little flames of fire did not appear on your head, and you did not speak in unlearned languages. You probably couldn't even speak one language. And yet that whatever happened at that first Pentecost happened to you. That same Spirit filled you, giving you power and wisdom and knowledge and faith and understanding, enlightening your mind to the Holy Scriptures so that you read that book and you see Christ as your Savior. He has not left you. God himself has not left you, but he comes to make his dwelling in you. And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see that this God is your everything. This incarnate God alone is your salvation. For you too can be just as scared and confused as these disciples once were. So the words of our Lord still apply to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For when you look at Christ, you understand everything will be okay. You do not know how. You don't know when. But it will all be okay in Christ. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about your finances or about another child. Don't worry about politics. Don't let it bother you. For in Christ, it will all be okay. Don't let the economy burden you, for your peace is not found in a booming economy, in financial stability, or in the right guy sitting on the right throne, but it is found in Christ, and in Christ alone. For this Spirit has opened your mind, even as he opened the minds of the disciples, to see Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior. And so your home is not this earth. Your home is where your king now lives and reigns. Be courageous. Stand firm in the Lord. Let nothing move you from this confession. Let nothing trouble you or burden your mind, for you have been set free in Christ. And that same Holy Spirit lives in you this very day. And he will never leave you. He will never leave you. Not when you don't understand things, not even when you are confused and scared. He will never leave you, but remains with you always. Even as the Father and the Son remain with you always to the very end of the ages. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.